I've read the book of Zephaniah. We only had a few verses at the end of it. We're in chapter 3. We ended at verse 18 last time. Yes, 10.
I have an email.
Okay, go ahead.
This is from H.P. Williams, Dr. Williams.
Yes.
It says, Anna got an A+.
Oh, good. An A+ for regurgitating his words or spilling out or reminding, remembering. That's great, Anna. Very good. I thought it was good. A+. Well, thank you, Dr. White. Questions at pftpc.org or 856-261-9018. Let's hear what you have to say with comments or questions you might have. All right, in Zephaniah 3, and we stopped at verse 18 last time. Let's read 18, 19, and 20. 18, 19, and 20. Beginning of 18. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was the burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that falleth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gathered you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, says the Lord. This is a picture of the near fulfillment when they go into captivity in Babylon, then come back out of captivity, and also fulfillment in the future fulfillment in the millennial reign of Christ when Israel will be gathered. And notice verse 18, I will gather them. Who's the them he's going to gather?
The Jews.
He's going to gather the Jews. And they're going to be in belief instead of unbelief this time. That are sorrowful, solemn assembly, that to whom the reproach was a burden. And notice, so what's he going to do in verse 19 to those that afflict the Jews? What does it mean to undo all that afflict them? What would that mean? Undo.
Undo. It means undo.
What does it mean? What's the effect?
Cancel, I
guess. Take it away.
Take it away.
Get rid of.
Get rid of. Could be. Completely dismantle and take away all their schemes against the Jews.
Now for him to do this to the Jews, are the Jews going to have to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior?
Yes, I think this is a future fulfillment of the millennial reign of Christ. They will,
that would be the deal then.
Yeah, they will accept him, that's right. But to undo their enemies, probably stop them, stop their hanky-panky against the Jews.
And destroy them.
Destroy them, probably, undo them, and just to take away all their power against his people. Undo. It's a good word. Just like when you untie your shoes, you undo your shoes. That's ready to no longer on your feet. It's long ago. Undo. All that afflict thee. I will save her that halt. What does it mean to halt?
Yeah.
Limp. Are there people limping today even?
Yeah.
Yes, some people are limp. And gather her that was driven out. So all there that halt. In other words, some of the people are old maybe. They're like the organist that fall and so on. That halteth and fall and stumble.
She was pretty sure-footed, Mrs. Paul.
Yes.
You know,
yes. She got a trip.
She relates to King, usually come to the Wednesday service. She's the most...
Yeah, she's the strongest.
The state, whatever the word, stable. She's really... Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that she was the one that fell.
Yeah. She stumbled or did she just give way?
Well, Jeannie was saying sometimes when you have like the hip cross, you don't even realize it. You think you've fallen, but actually what's happened is the hip is given...
Oh, so the hip is actually starting to break. And
that's how you fall.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I thought people would, as a result of the fall, but it's probably breaks.
Prior. That's what Jeannie was telling you.
I never thought of that before that way.
You know, like that when you're getting older and you're losing the bones.
And so that's why you fall, because the hip is begins to break or begins to, okay.
It's a little bit strange if that happens, but anyway, that's possible. Yeah. Without glucosamine, anything is possible.
Maybe we get it verified.
If you get that, all right, Dr. Williams, another question. Verify. When a woman falls down and breaks her hip, did she fall because the hip gave way and she fell, or did she broke the hip when she fell? What do you think the solution would be, Dr. Williams? You want to call on that? You know our number, 856-261-9018.
And my question is, if you had like a hip replacement, when they put that steel, would that...
Does she have a hip replacement?
No.
But you're wanting another question. That's why if you have a quick hip replacement, that steel breaks, could that give way and you fall?
Well, I just figure maybe that's a reinforcement, and then it wouldn't happen.
And it wouldn't happen if they reinforced with a steel hip. Like I have my left hip, a real steel hip. All right, that's a big assignment. There are two big questions for Dr. Williams there tonight. Good, there we go. Okay. Yeah. Hello, Dr. Williams.
Hi, Dr. Williams. Those are good questions everyone's asking.
Okay.
The osteoporosis that you're discussing, yes. I have had patients who would, for example, be standing at the sink washing dishes and twist sideways to pick up another pot or pan, and their hip will snap and they will fall after the hip is broken. Matter of fact, I had a lady by the name of Eugenia Leacock. I still remember her name. She's passed and gone now. But her husband caught her before she hit the floor even. So that was proof that the hip broke before she even hit the floor, and x-rays proved that. As a result of that, we started what we call the osteopathic center there where I was practicing medicine and started what were some of the earliest to start treating osteoporosis. As far as the prosthetic elements in place in the hip, yes, they can snap also.
Good. Thank you very much, Dr. Williams. Appreciate that.
Okay.
God bless.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very good, Rosa. Yeah, absolutely. That was a good question, and he answered
it
fully. Huh?
Now I want to know, when he developed this osteoporosis, what the treatment was that he developed?
Well, that would be the third question. Maybe next week we can have Bill. Go ahead.
I hope Dr. Williams isn't going to play you for each one of
you. Yeah, I hope he doesn't tell me either. I tell you, we always ask Dr. Williams about many things. By my tests, and he gives me tests, and I always like his rate of recompense. And very fine. But he could bill us for both these agencies, as a lot of these doctors do, you know, when you call on the phone. Or a lawyer, every time you call him on the phone. So many tenths of an hour, so a couple hundred dollars an hour, you got it. So, Dr. Williams, send us your bill if there is one, and Bill, we'll see what he can do. pray for Bill. He's still out of work, out of a job, and they haven't recompensed him as far as the unemployment. So please continue to pray for Bill. So he's going to undo all that afflict thee, save her that halleth. Just trips around and not too stable, see. People with canes, sort of hauling along their canes. I'm glad for canes. Sometimes they really help it. Gather her that was driven out. And there are lots of people, the Jews, that are driven all over the world. And get them praise and fame in every land. Why will people praise the regenerated Israelites, do you think?
I think a lot of people are jealous of them.
All right.
Because when the Jews first started flooding that country and they started developing it, the land was desolate. And the Jews cultivated that land, and they made it one of the most productive farming areas in the world today, plus all the technology and the science that they have advanced there. I think they're the envy of the Middle East. I think the all the Islamic world is jealous of them.
Yes, that's a good point. And God's going to exalt them even more so in this future fulfillment as well, in the fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Do the people in this day that Zephaniah is writing, before the judgment, before they go into the Babylon and get there, were the people shaming the Jews? They certainly were. Do they shame them even some today?
Yes.
This George Soros is a Jew, and his mother's a Jew, and his mother, George Soros, is a multi-billionaire, several billions and billions of billions, giving everything to left-wing causes and revolutionists. He, as one of the men was saying, he's had four different nations he's helped to dissolve, just completely revolt with his billions and billions and billions. And his mother was a Jewess, and yet she was against the Jews. She's anti-Semitic, of course, so George Soros anyway, but the Jews have a lot put to shame. A lot of people are shameful. And in fact, in Hitler's day, if you're a Jew, it's a very great shame. In fact, to the ovens with you, burn them up and kill them, along with the homosexuals and others that Hitler killed and slew. There's some Christians too, many Christians. Yes, Bill.
I forgot to mention the most important jealousy the world has against the Jews, that the Jews were God's chosen people.
Yeah, that's true. And also the Lord Jesus Christ himself was a Jew. And first the Romans slew him and hanged him on the tree, and of course the Jews themselves said let him be crucified. So they're put to shame, they're going to be praised. Certainly the one they ran to Christ, that's going to be true. At that time, what's he going to do in verse 20?
Bring them again.
Bring them again. Gather them. What nations are the Jews in now? Just in the United States?
No.
All over the world. Are they always white in color?
No.
Some of them are black. Some of them are Negro features and so on. Jews all over the world. And the gathering is going to be a real something. They partially have been gathered in Israel in unbelief. But later it's going to be in belief. They're going to come back in swarms and droves. And I wonder what's going to happen to the Muslims that are right now occupying the land. What's going to happen when the Jews regather?
It's going to be undone.
I'll talk about undo them. That's right. They'll be completely vanquished. And of course, when the Lord Jesus comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, when all the people are trying to get at the Jews, he's going to slay them with the brightness of his coming and disperse them from the Battle of Armageddon, and then the Jewish people will have reign over that whole land. All the ones from north, south, east, and west will be put down and slain. And so I will gather them and make you a name. What does that mean, make you a name?
They'll be known, I guess.
Unknown? What else? What does it mean to make a name for someone?
Make a name for yourself.
What does it mean?
Become popular.
Popular? Be exalted? Some Mr. Big or Mrs. Big?
Renown,
that's right, renown.
And they'll be loved.
Be loved?
Yeah, instead of, hated as they are. Mm-hmm.
You'll get publicity.
Publicity. The scripture speaking at the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, the power of the Lord. Every eye shall bow. That's right. And so they make him a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, said the Lord. So, though they were in captivity, and they're going to go into captivity in about 20, 30 years, as Zephaniah is writing, into Babylon, they'll be there for how many years?
70 years.
All right, we're going to stop in Zephaniah and go on to Haggai, the next book right over there. Who was Haggai? Who did he write to? And when was his writing?
He's an exilic.
He was post-exilic, or after the exile. He wrote after the exile. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi were after the exile. After they came back from the 70 years of captivity in Babylon, that's when they wrote. That's when he wrote here at Haggai. So it's important to see that. And about 520 B.C. or so, from Babylon, coming back all the way through here back to Israel, back into the Jerusalem area. And that took place 70 years after they were there in captivity. Let's read then chapter 1, 2, and verses 1, 2, and 3 of Haggai, chapter 1, beginning of verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, first day of the month, came the word of the Lord for Haggai the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, All right, so this is the picture of the people after the exile, and the second year of Darius. Who was the king before Darius?
Cyrus?
This was a whole new regime.
All right.
This is the Medo-Persian Empire.
Darius the Mede, that's right. And before that, Cyrus the Persian, was that what it was?
Nebuchadnezzar was before that. That very night is when the Medo-Persian armies came in and overthrew that government. It's a whole new regime with Darius and
so
Cyrus.
Chapter 3 was a different king than chapter 6, wasn't it?
Darius was a Mede?
Darius the Mede, yeah. Like Mede and Persians.
Oh, so Persians.
Darius of the Mede. Uh-huh. Okay. Medes and the Persians. 6 months, first day of the month. How did Haggai get his message, according to verse 1?
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord angry with the prophet. Now, when Gary Peterson wrote me that email and told me about this man who said that God revealed to him that night that this is going to happen, this is going to happen, what do I think about that? First I just said, thank you forever. But then he wrote back and said, what do you think about that? I said, don't follow that man. The Lord doesn't reveal to men today what is going to happen in the future. He's not a prophet. So, but to Haggai, the prophet, that's where the Lord did reveal through the word what's going to happen.
Now, is Gary Peterson, is that Faith's husband?
Yes, that's Faith's husband, yes.
Okay.
That's right. So,
just making sure.
That's right, that's Gary, Faith's husband, that's correct. He's probably listening to us right tonight. Questions at bfubc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or simply give us an email. Then in verse number...
To go back to Daniel's reference, Daniel 25, verse 25 is meaning, meaning, effect, be person. But then in verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old.
That's right. That's good, then. After the book of Daniel gives you the history there and the succession. So the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel. Who is he?
He's
not
his king.
What was his office?
Descendant of Josiah.
Oh, it's Josiah. What was his office?
That's right.
What?
Governor.
The governor of Judah. Okay. Governor of Judah, that is, he was charged. And then who was the high priest?
Joshua,
the son of Joshua. Joshua, the son of Joshua. Right, so Joshua was the high priest. So.
Josiah was the high priest.
Pardon me? Yeah, Anna?
Here is the bill. Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
Thank you. Dr. Williams, that's his bill. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, heart, and mind. That's very good. That's his bill. Okay, we're trying to do that. Every one of us. That's true. You understand, Jack, what that bill is? For the medical college. Dr. Williams. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy soul. That's the bill.
No, Pastor Dan's daughter, she knows a lot about all this stuff because she's able to catch on because she was homeschooled and I was not.
She was homeschooled here now. How about that? That's her problem too here now. Okay.
I got it
paired
in a public school.
Public school. Yeah, I was public school too, so I don't know too much either. All right. So Zerubbabel was the governor and Joshua was the high priest. Now verse number 2. Again, the source of Haggai's ministry is who? What's the source?
The Lord.
The Lord of hosts, speaking, saying. What did the people say? The people, as they went back from 7 years of captivity, what was their attitude in verse 2?
Wasn't
time to do what? That's right.
Build the temple.
To build the temple, the Lord's house. Wasn't time. Do we ever say that?
Are they
sometimes we? Pardon me?
The fire engine near us?
Oh, I don't know.
60 miles.
That's a siren from on the firehouse.
Firehouse to
assemble the firemen so they can go to the fire.
Sometimes do we say it's not time to do certain things, not to build a temple, but it's not time. It's not time. We should wait and wait. Sometimes that's the way it is. Now, sometimes it's wise to wait. Sometimes it's not wise to just rush in. Fools rush in,
or
angels fear to tread. Now, whenever people apply that to it.
No, and you got to be careful. You don't want to rush in because you don't want to be caught in a snare.
That's exactly right. Haste makes
waste.
So we got to be very careful, very prayerful. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, time is not. But in verse number 3, what happened after the people were saying it's not time to build the Lord's house?
Then came the word of the Lord.
All right, after they started
rebelling, and so if these people had not been rebellious, perhaps the prophet Haggai would not have had been instructed to write these words that we have tonight.
That's right. So
rebellious.
They're rebellious. And the word came.
Thankful that they have been released from captivity, and they had no understanding. Many of them, some of them, had no understanding of what the function of the temple was, or how the temple even looked prior to the captivity, because they were born in captivity. Some of them were not. Some of them were.
Some of them were. That's right. Let's read verse 4, 5, and 6.
Is it
time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put into a bag with hope. Let's stop right here, beginning of verse 4 next week, when we'll have Julian and also Rob and all the rest of us to look at some of these verses together with us. Do you have any other comments or questions before we close? Well, if not, let's close in with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for Zephaniah the prophet, faithfully revealing the future that thou hast for thy people Israel, and the future time when they shall be gathered, and people will praise them instead of curse them, and the Lord Jesus will be exalted instead of blasphemed. Thank you for this prophet Haggai, who is prophesying after they came back from the 70 years of captivity, how their hearts were saddened, how they didn't want to do anything for the Lord. Here's a prophet that thou didst raise up. And we thank thee for the ministry of Haggai. We ask thee, Lord, as we look at it more next Thursday night, that we may understand that it's not time to complain. It's always time to serve thee, to acceptably live for thee. And as Dr. Williams has said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. That is, and direct us, bring us back safely on the Lord's day, and continue to bless and use us to glorify our Savior. Those of us who are saved, to be any listening in our internet ministry or anyone else that can listen who's lost, may they come to Christ before it's too late. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.
One announcement we have.